I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey. I'm here with all the tools today. And one of them's got COVID. He's on the COVID reserve list. And he's here so he doesn't get fined. And that's me. What's up, guys?
Nice. What's going on?
Hey, you don't have to worry.
Have yourselves a COVID little Christmas. Hey. Stay the f*** away.
Tell all the people about the concert you went to last night.
Oh, yeah. I went to the Drake Kanye concert.
No, I went to the Drake Kanye concert.
I gave all of L.A. COVID. I'm the reason the Rams game got moved.
Yeah. I mean, COVID's really turning up the NFL right now.
Yeah. The Jets just put a bunch of people on it today.
Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill on the COVID list right now.
I've seen that.
In the heat of the fantasy playoffs.
One of the symptoms was catching more than 10 passes in your game this week on Kansas City. You got COVID. And Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill both had double-digit catches. So
nice. Travis Kelce actually had his career high of his entire successful career yardage-wise.
I was actually surprised. I don't know why. I thought he had broken 200 yards before.
Yeah, right? I could have sworn he had. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk Chiefs Chargers. Chiefs.
Hey, hold on. Before we talk Chiefs Chargers, how come the white guy gets an intro, but I didn't get an intro? I'm just saying.
The white guy didn't get an intro.
Oh, damn. Sorry.
I don't think you. Nobody got an intro.
I just said I had COVID and let's go.
Well, the white guy has COVID.
He's here with all the tools.
Yeah. It's Woody Massey on the tools. Damn it.
You know what? I actually have had someone reach out to me before in the past. I was like, yo, is this Woody and the Four Tools? What is this? Yeah. He's kind of like our Bobby Brown. You know, he's Casey and JoJo from Jodeci. He's, you know, Ralph Tresvant.
I'm Otis from The Temptations.
Yeah, exactly. You feel me?
Otis.
All right. Well, let's talk Chiefs Chargers. Actually, is the Blicky full today?
Blicky full, man. Blicky full.
All right. Take us to school.
We're skipping all that stuff. I'm going
to school.
Right into trivia. All right. Brandon, I can't even remember what the question is, but when I formulated it, I was like, I feel like Brandon has a chance with this one. And, you know, whenever I say that, you usually get it or you come close. So.
All right. Here we go. I'm ready.
All right. I know why I figured, you know, you might have a chance with this one. Probably because Tom Brady's in it, but. That's probably why. So, without further ado.
So long, it's hard to remember everything he's done, man.
I know, right? The trivia question today is, Tom Brady is the winningest quarterback in NFL history with 240 career wins. Who is second on this list with 188 career wins?
Oh.
Don't do it, Woody. Close your mouth. You know, when that mouth started coming open a little bit, he about to blurt something out. Got to be perceptive of your classroom. That's one of the laws of being a teacher. So I'm going to ask the question one more time. And again, Tom Brady is the winningest quarterback in NFL history with 240 career wins. Who is second on this list with 188 career wins? Brandon, I'm going to go you first.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, that's a really good guess. That's a really good guess. Woody, I'm going to kick it to you next.
I'm going to do my best John Madden impression here. Brett Favre.
Oh, yeah.
The correct answer is Brett Favre. Good job, Woody. Brett Favre is second with 188 career wins. Peyton Manning is third with 187 career wins. Drew Brees is fourth with 172 career wins.
Man, they just couldn't last for Brett.
I got a follow-up question for you. Who is the active career leader outside of Tom Brady?
Ooh. I'm going to guess Ben Roethlisberger.
You on one today, Woody. Hell yeah. Good job.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, hell yeah, Brandon. Great job, yes! Buddy. Great job.
Got it.
We'll give you a sticker for that one.
I'll take it.
All right.
Woody don't get a sticker because his hair is just a little more coarse than yours.
Speaking of Brett Favre. Speaking of Brett Favre, Favre comes out to the media again. It's not about stuff. It's not about dumb political. Well, you know he's wrestled with somebody else in some wrangers. Brett Favre reminds Aaron Rodgers to enjoy the Packers' records. If I was Aaron Rodgers, I'd be like, shut up, old man. Just write to the media. Just tell that old man to shut up.
It's funny that they kind of like, you know, talk well of each other nowadays because I ain't fooling nobody. 15 years ago, y'all hated one another.
Aaron don't put his name in his mouth. He doesn't talk well of him.
Yeah, he did mention after the game the other day when they mentioned that he had broke one of Brett Favre's records. He was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to text Brett when I get to the locker room.
The text said, nanny, nanny, foo, foo.
Yeah, right? Probably.
All right, guys. Well, that's so Leonard Fournette probably likely to the IR, which kills my big league fantasy team. I had Nick Chubb and Leonard Fournette, and I didn't get Ronald Jones before the trade deadline. I knew I'd regret it. Always get your backups.
Lev Bell is employed again, so.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Le'Veon Bell. Just, chance 987.
I think it's a good deal, though, for him and Brady in the interim.
I think Ronald Jones is about to go on a tear right here.
Yeah, running.
Mm-hmm. Nah, I think Tampa's in trouble.
They look like it, but I mean, the Saints' defense is on another level, though, than some of the other opponents they're going to face. I mean,
as long as Antonio Brown stays healthy, they still are like, they have Gronk and Antonio Brown.
I'm not worried about health as much as another meltdown of some sort.
Nah, look, Tom Brady is great because Tom Brady can consistently give us the best and put his teams in a position to win and win Super Bowls when the pieces are around him. Tom Brady's 44. Let's make no mistake about it. Tom Brady is not the type of quarterback that covers up deficiencies for an offense. He is not that. And that offense was dynamic because you had so many weapons around him. It was a buffet for him. Now, Leonard Fournette, who has been the offensive MVP for Tampa Bay this year, is likely to go on IR. That's a huge blow. And then Chris Godwin, his most consistent receiver, he'll do whatever needs to be done. He'll block. He was important in the screen game.
He'll go across the middle blind.
Huh? But you got Gronk. You do have
across
Gronk.
The middle blind.
I mean, you do have Gronk. They still have weapons, but they don't have all of them.
With AB and Gronk, it helps.
They still have weapons, quote unquote. They still have literally, arguably, the two best weapons of all time.
When those weapons are extra on top of what you already have, it makes those weapons that much more scary.
I think this was Brady's and Antonio's plan the whole time, so him, Gronk, and AB could all bro out together on the same team. Like, all right, guys, it's
about
just
to
us
go
now.
Down like that.
leave Mike on the bench this game, Bruce. It's the boys.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
Tom's been wanting to bro out with AB all alone on a field for a long time.
I thought AB was going to be done.
Yeah.
Not with Tom there. Bro, Tom really respects AB. Like, he went out. Remember AB?
I don't think respect is the word to use.
He respects his play.
There we go. All right, that's better.
He respects him as a player because literally, remember when AB was at that peak of accusations with that trainer? Tom was like, let's go get him. Like, Tom threw that man a lifeline. Yeah, and then he did it again here in Tampa, and he just hasn't been cut yet, even though Bruce was like, he messes up once, he's gone.
So
and
look,
Tom's like, let's not
he
be
backtracked.
So
let's he not backtracked be so completely.
So to get this straight, you guys aren't worried about Tampa?
No.
I heard the hesitation in your voice. I get it.
I'm not worried if AB is playing and Gronk is out there. If there's no AB and it's just Gronk, I'm a little bit more worried. But what's Mike Evans' timetable?
He might be back this week. If not this week, next week.
Yeah, I mean, you're not Godwin. Okay, he dropped what, 7 passes, 8 passes, or some craziness in the playoffs last year. I mean,
he's still the best receiver. Maybe it helps your argument a bit, but. Leonard Fournette, again, offensive MVP.
Best receiver
this year
on that team is AB. hands down. The go-to is Gronk.
The most talented receiver, for sure. For sure. I don't disagree with
Godwin that. Godwin is good right now, but, I mean, he was good last year when he did play, and then when he got to the playoffs, he just...
The only thing that makes me, ease my concern a little bit is just the fact that it's Tom Brady, right? I mean, he is the GOAT. But make no mistake about it, when you're...
Yeah.
Two of your best players go down on offense. That's
the Fournette thing is a big deal because
that's a huge deal.
Yeah, that's his binky out of the backfield. 70 receptions. Check down. Yeah, and bringing in Lev Bell on short notice and trying to get him up to speed, and then we seen Keyshawn Vaughn out there. He dropped an easy flare route. Right after Fournette was hurt, he was in there on a third
Brady
down.
Looked at him like he wanted to kill him.
Yeah, it was over.
Just an empty. Like, okay, as soon as he dropped it, it just could have faded.
As soon as
away
he dropped it, he's like, all right, we got to find someone else. Yeah.
So the Chiefs, Chargers. This was a great game. Maybe our best Thursday game of the season.
Yeah, I forgot you're a Chargers fan. I always forget that until we get on air. It was a good game.
It was a great game. They won in overtime. Yeah.
It was solid.
It was overtime.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I always forget you're a hater.
I'm not, a Chargers fan. It was a really great game.
What Thursday game was better?
It was a lot of touchdowns. It was a lot of offense. Yeah. You saw a lot of big plays. You saw defenses not be able to stop anybody.
There were multiple goal line stands and turnovers on the goal line in this.
I mean, yeah, that's cool. It was also
the Chiefs defense.
Offense. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, no, that's real. The Chiefs defense is still playing, well enough. They've improved so much. We've talked about that numerous times. And then, like Woody said, those stops and key moments like that are a big deal. Not letting, the Chargers finish drives in that scenario really helps out. And then you've got Mahomes playing at a high level again. Still, Kelce and Hill doing their thing out there. So Chiefs aren't really running the football, and we talked about, the Chargers' run defense getting better. Woody pointed that out.
Kansas City couldn't run it.
Yeah, they were unable to run it, but they were able to, still throw the football and score enough points to win. And honestly, the Chargers, it's more coaching decision-based, I think, a lot of times right now. This is a game that the Chargers could have won and probably maybe even should have won, but... They didn't.
Herbert dialed it up there for the long ball to try to tie it up. They had it. Just overthrew him by a little bit. Could have gone either way. But that overtime, Travis Kelce, that bomb, that was one of the defining moments of his career, for sure.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. 69 yarder, I think. Or no, 34.
A long. I think it was 60 something.
Oh, okay. He had one big one where he caught it and ran.
Yeah, the last one was 34. I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
But so this drops the Chargers to 8-6. It's official. Let's look at the standings here. How this game affects that division. All right. So the Chiefs are 10-4, and the Chargers are 8-6. That puts the Chiefs probably in the driver's seat of the one spot. Well, we can officially revisit. Are we worried about the Chiefs?
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, no, we
got to the edge there. Most of us
we did
toes off the edge.
We did.
Yeah, we were double questioning ourselves. Like, should I still be blindly?
And look, Kansas City, they're not out of the woods yet. I think before this season, before they faced the adversity that they did, I think they were a very scary opponent, right? One of those opponents that as soon as you get on the field, in some ways, mentally, you've already lost. And now, with this blueprint coming out against Kansas City, I think it's put some teams, gave them a certain level of confidence. Like, hey, we can really go out here and beat these guys. Because Kansas City still, I mean, outside of the Oakland game where they really put it on them, and then this game, that offense still, it hasn't been consistently great like we've seen in the past.
Yeah, and now... What did we say? Kelce and Tyreek are on the COVID reserve?
Yes, as of right now. Josh Gordon time, baby.
Nah.
Let's see what you got, Patrick Mahomes. You really got to put him on your back now. Or maybe Andy will lean on the run game, you know, this week. If
they got the Steelers. I think they got the Steelers this week, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know, you can run for 200 yards against them. Just ask Dalvin.
Apparently.
Guys, we had a second big statement game. It happened on Saturday this week. NFL football. I love it. If we had a time machine, we could go back a few weeks ago when we were given our Super Bowl favorites.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one team stated as the dark horse and in the AFC. And at the time, they were 6-7, I believe, or 5-7.
I don't know, but they're just 8-6 right now.
They are, but God dang, they look good.
A scary 8-6. Yeah.
No, they are a scary 8-6, but they beat the Patriots. And the only reason
the hottest team in the NFL
on this, exactly. But the Patriots aren't that good. They're good, but they're just good. That's it. And everyone wants to make the Patriots something greater than what they are right now. The Patriots are just good. They beat the teams they're supposed to beat, and Buffalo is included in that because Buffalo is not a good team.
Yeah, Buffalo has holes that you can exploit, especially
the
their offensive
thing
line.
About the Patriots' run here is they're 6-1 away.
Who, the Colts or the Patriots?
Patriots.
Oh, wow. See, it used to be tough to come in there and win at Foxborough.
Yeah.
But that's why it's all about the schedule. It's all about the matchup. I mean, look, New England got hot because they weren't playing anybody. You know, after they blew out the Cleveland Browns 45-7 a month ago, everyone got on that bandwagon because we expect Cleveland to be a good team. And they are another team that is not a good team. So, I mean, the last good team New England faced, besides the Colts, was the Dallas Cowboys in week 5 or 6. And, you know, Belichick's defense only gave up the most yards that ever, you know?
Yeah, they got,
Zach Jones
they got
also
the Bills.
Had one of his best games, too.
They got the Bills again, too, so.
Yeah, they got the Bills again this week. It'll be interesting to see how this team rebounds without Young Lear, for sure.
Yeah, it's a big game. It's a big game for both teams,
but
especially Buffalo.
Let's talk to Colts, right? So let's look at their – because this show we're looking a little bit more analyzation.
They got the Cardinals.
So they got the Cardinals. That's a big game this week. It's a big game this week. And then they close it out a little easier, Raiders, Jaguars. But they may need to win this one just to make sure they can split one of the last two.
It's very winnable.
Yeah. So the Cardinals will be without D-Hop. They have Chase Edmonds back, and James Conner should play. He's a little banged up. Zach Ertz was looking like maybe a season-saving pickup mid-season.
Colts ought to beat Arizona. I mean, the Colts match up well.
They do.
Arizona. But look, at some point over the last 3 weeks of the season and going into the postseason, Carson Wentz is going to have to win you games. And overall, we look at his numbers and we will say he's played a solid season. The Colts are where they are right now because of coaching and because of Jonathan Taylor.
That offensive line.
Exactly. So Carson Wentz against New England, Frank said, no, Carson. No, we ain't gonna put you in a position to win or lose the game. He passed the ball 12 times for 57 yards. So I mean,
they pulled a Billy on Bill. They just wanted to run the ball down his throat.
They did.
Yeah, control that, but they didn't convert third downs very well either. They went 2 for 10.
So do we see the Colts? Could the Colts make a run? Like, am I crazy here? Darius Leonard's playing some of the best football of his career.
No.
That Buckner's playing like a beast. You don't
think
so?
They're scary. No, I don't think. I think they're scary. The AFC has a lot of teams that are scary that, for one game, can knock you out. Indy is one of them. Baltimore is one of them. Tennessee, especially with Derrick Henry back, is one of them.
Here's what sets them
apart. But I don't see those teams as really making runs or as being contenders because they're not complete teams.
Here's what sets them apart, though, from a run-based football team, a traditional run-based football team. This team is leading the league in scoring.
That's cool.
I mean, it's not your traditional, like, lower run-based offense.
I don't think that'll be the case in the postseason. It's the best, 14 teams in the NFL. All the teams that make the postseason are going to be good teams. Indianapolis, they don't have a good quarterback. They have a decent quarterback, and I feel like that's the difference maker here. That's what I look for with teams that can make a deep playoff run and who can't. Now, if Carson Wentz hit us with Joe Flacco from, you know, way back when, that's possible.
Let's look ahead and just say if the Colts are in the playoffs, what teams are built to stop them. We already know how they were able to run the football against the Patriots.
We would have said the Patriots, right?
Right, but that didn't pan out. The Patriots, statistically, in this game, they dominated almost every category other than the turnover battle and the penalties. Patriots had 8 penalties to 2 penalties for the Colts, so penalties can set you back. And like I said, the third down situation, and then what CJ brought up with Carson Wentz, 12 pass attempts, that's not going to win you a Super Bowl. But if they can continue to play football the way they want to play football, what teams in front of them or in the playoffs, whoever they match up with when that comes to fruition, assuming they're in, who's going to stop them?
Baltimore, like, what team? Best run defense in the NFL right now, statistically.
I mean, they're on the bubble, though.
You got they are on the bubble, just as the Colts are on the bubble. This next team is on the bubble. Actually, no, they should win the division. Tennessee. You know, Tennessee, second best run defense in the league.
There you go.
Tampa Bay, they're in the NFC. You got Cincinnati Bengals. They're 5th in the NFL in run defense. I don't like Cincy either. I see that face, but the fact is Cincinnati may be able to stifle that run game. And if you can stifle the run game, what do you have to do? You have to put it in Carson Wentz's hand, and you just talked about how, you know, unsuccessful they were on third down. A lot of that, you can look at the scheme, and you can look at the quarterback if a team is bad on third down, right? And as you've talked about many times, Brandon, first down. It's all about first down. If you can pick up 4 or 5 yards, positive plays on first down, and if you're in third and shorts, that's great. If you can play the run against Indy on that first and second down and get them into third and longs, I don't believe in Carson Wentz.
Yeah, you're forcing Carson Wentz. Yep. That's how you beat them. And, you know, I don't like that. Honestly, it's a quarterback-driven league. We've talked about it. As much as I love teams who run the football and what the Colts are doing, it's going to have to take – like, the matchups will have to set up perfectly for them. For sure. Otherwise, they're going to run into somebody who's going to, you know, force Carson Wentz to do it. And the Titans are pretty good at that, right? They've stifled the Ravens in the past in different ways, and we know how – they lean on the run game, and Lamar Jackson's the most dynamic runner in the league. And when they force him to have to throw it and lean on that more often than not, you know, and Lamar, we've seen it happen with Lamar, right? So Carson Wentz is no
Lamar.
And
check this out. The Patriots are in the bottom third in the NFL in run defense. So I've also been saying, hey, this isn't that New England defense that we know.
They're way better against the pass than the run, for sure.
Right. I mean, J.C. Jackson, you got, you know, the McCourty twins back there.
Old McCourty twins.
Duggar. You know, I mean, look, I'm not saying they're not a good defense. I'm just saying we've seen much better defenses out in New England before. And this isn't that defense. And Mac Jones isn't Tom Brady. So.
Oh, yeah. And that's another thing, too. The Colts were up big.
I think that needs to be said a little louder for the people in the back. Mac Jones isn't Tom Brady.
A lot of people should understand that. But Mac Jones did a great job helping bring that team back.
He did.
So what Carson Wentz probably will not be able to. I'm not going to write Carson Wentz off as somebody who can't do it, all right? But when the Patriots were down, obviously, the way that the Colts thought that they were going to hold them down, they fought back. They made it a closer game than it was looking like, right? And Patriots put themselves in a position to potentially, you know, pull it off, right? They had an opportunity. Didn't happen, but, you know, it is what it is.
Hunter Henry is having, I'd say since Julius Thomas, such an outlier season. It's incredible.
Forgot about that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, like this man is just a touchdown machine, is he?
And he definitely Mac Jones' favorite target.
Red zone target.
Mm-hmm. He trusts Hunter Henry.
Dude, I like what they do, though, with Jonnu Smith. Sometimes they'll run him on like an end around
That's scary, too, man. That's scary.
He gets a full head of steam, man, as fast as he is. Oh, it's like, do you really want to get in front of this dude?
Not at all.
Cowboys at Giants. Cowboys 21, Giants 6. The Cowboys keep on winning despite Dak Prescott's struggles.
Yeah, and look, those struggles aren't just Dak Prescott. He hasn't played his best ball. That Dallas offense hasn't played their best ball over the last month. But there's silver linings. That defense has forced at least four turnovers in three consecutive games, all away games, and all wins, right? So we're approaching the postseason, and I have a theory. I'm not sure if it's a legit theory or not, but I watch Dallas a lot because they are my favorite team. I'm almost wondering, and people, they've been very critical of Kellen Moore over the last month. Mike McCarthy, one of the better coaches in December, right? He's as far as percentage, he's top four, top five in NFL history as far as winning in December. But check this out. I wonder if it's about tendency. Why do too much on offense versus bad teams? Why not just play conservative, win it the way you need to? Because guess what? When playoffs get here, it's going to be a lot of schematical changes. It's going to be a lot of changes on tendency. For example, Dallas, they're incredible running off tackle. Incredible. They're incredible in the run game.
Last few games.
When they can pull their guards. And they don't do it a lot. They don't do it a lot at all. So, again, schematically, it just makes me think, are they being conservative just as far as tendency? That way, when the postseason get here, they might hit you with something that you're not expecting.
Now, see, I have like a little pushback here because I was listening yesterday to Ryan Russillo. He has Jonathan Vilma on every couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Vilma does a lot of tape breakdown, and as you know, Jonathan Vilma, successful middle linebacker for the Saints and the Jets,
from the U.
He's saying actually this is the worst Dallas has ever been running out off the tackle in the last few years, and they're getting very, very poor tackle play.
Oh, Jonathan Vilma doesn't watch Dallas like I watch Dallas then, apparently, because I don't know what he's watching. He's an NFL player. And you know what? He knows a lot more than me.
He's a middle linebacker. He knows a lot.
Of course. But I bet unless he's a Dallas fan, he hasn't watched the amount of tape and what I've seen Dallas do over this season. Well, I don't
he was
miss
saying that was from the tape. He broke down their last few games.
Again, Dallas has struggled to run the ball. But when they get off tackle, they've looked really good.
When I've watched the Cowboys, though, they have had success on the edges of against defenses on the edges more than they have been between the tackles. So I don't know if maybe he's talking off tackle or just in the general vicinity trying to run inside of the tackle. I don't know. It does make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but look, that's something we can look at a little bit for ourselves.
Sure. That defense is playing phenomenal, right? Yeah, so, you know, look,
got two defensive MVP candidates on it.
Yeah,
his player of the years.
And as far as the real contenders for the Super Bowl, you look at Aaron Rodgers, you look at Tom Brady, you look at Patrick Mahomes. What do you have to do to beat those guys? You got to be able to apply pressure with four guys. Dallas can do that.
Yep. What do you think like schematically would be the Cowboys' biggest weakness?
I would say the ability to stop the run has been probably my biggest question mark on the defensive side of the ball. They've had some games where they have been able to versus like Minnesota and Dalvin Cook. They pretty much shut him down. But then they've had some other games where that run defense didn't look great at all. So I would say there, but I would say even there, they're trending the right way because you're getting DeMarcus Lawrence, who in the last 5 or 6 years has been the best edge defender against the run. Right. And then you got Randy Gregory back. You can be more versatile with Michael Parsons. So that was their biggest weakness. But I think they're kind of filling that gap.
Nice. I honestly, for the Cowboys to be successful, they got to continue to get, you know, force turnovers, get some turnover luck, some things that kind of bounce their way. I think that's going to be very beneficial. Honestly, the offense does need to kind of get itself going a little bit more. Who is the there's two tight ends. One of them's hurt, though.
Blake Jarwin. And he's the better blocker of the two him and Dalton Schultz. So that's been hurtful, too.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Giants. New quarterback alert. I'm a Jake Fromm fan. I've been waiting for this guy for years.
He can actually get the ball to Kenny Golladay? What?
Yeah, I mean, let's not spend too much time here. I will say, the Giants, they have two first-round picks next year. So, you know, even though they're trending the wrong way, they're trending the right way in a way.
No, that's true. And they traded down this year, got Kadarius Toney, and now they got two in the first round, which I think that are going out of town for Russell Wilson. Fingers crossed. Speaking into existence.
I like that.
Because that's what Seattle needs. They got no picks from Jamal Adams. Yep. This is the time.
But, you know, Russ might say no because of that. Russ was like, you know what? Seattle traded all of their picks. They couldn't give me any weapons like I really wanted. They couldn't give me any protection.
But the Giants, they can get guys in the second round in this draft. It's deep. And they have a wide receiver core and running backs. I think it's
and you'll be able to get some free agents too. You get Russ to New York.
Well, I think they only have to give one of those first round picks because I think Daniel Jones will go with them.
Yeah, or New Orleans, right?
New Orleans. Yeah, New Orleans was on his list as well. Yeah. Sean Payton, man, Russ is
that'd
great.
Be nasty.
Yeah.
With that defense.
Yeah. Cincinnati Bengals and the Denver Broncos. The Bengals just won't die. They're still alive. 8-6.
Yeah, I mean,
Joe Burrow, you know, it wasn't pretty, but he did it.
You know why it's not pretty? Because that offensive line is failing them, man. And you know what? We talked about this before the season started. We talked about this in the spring. We said, hey, they should go offensive line. We all talked about Penei Sewell possibly trading back, getting, you know, offensive line was deep this year. They went Jamir Chase.
I think they made the right choice.
Jamie it Chase looks like a great
like a generational
pick.
Talent.
Yeah. He's balling. However, receiver wasn't a position
shut down
of need coming
Patrick
into the
Sertan.
Season. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the jury is still out. If Joe Burrow doesn't develop or doesn't play how we expect him to play over the next year or two, then it could be one of those scenarios where we look at, like, okay, maybe Cincinnati should have won offensive line.
I have good pushback here. I remember during the draft, I was watching, you know, one of those talking head draft shows. And one breakdown that they had is that offensive linemen taken inside the top 10 are usually a waste of a pick. Usually the best offensive linemen are taken between rounds 2 and 4 in the draft. The ones that last longest.
I mean, I need references
sources. Okay, but listen, think about it. When you're at the top, you get the elite offensive talent. That's what you go for. They did. They went and got a special player. They got Jamar Chase. Now they're going to be going into this draft. They're going to be like, what, 10-6 probably, or 9-7. So they'll be right there at the edge
it's
of the beginning
of the
20s.
It's a deep tackle draft this year.
That is the
well.
Exact area where you'd rather take an offensive lineman rather than inside the top 10.
But at the same time, when you're sitting there and your best asset, the one that you want to protect, was just broken the year before, and you don't draft an offensive lineman early when there's several out there that, well, two, obviously, that everybody wanted or was high on. You didn't take either one of those guys. You went Jamar Chase. I understand the pick. You could have went Kyle Pitts. Right. You could have went Jamar Chase.
For sure.
And then you could have tried to, you know, they tried to patch the offensive line together. It's been okay. It's gotten a little bit better this year. The run game has been a little bit better for them throughout. I've seen, you know, them kind of wear on teams late and the run game kind of do its thing. But, you know, there's moments like this where it breaks down and the pressure's getting to Burrow and it's just not, you know, it's not allowing him to do the things he needs to do. But then again, the Broncos are, their defense is good. This is a good team.
Yep.
And once again, this is 15-10 is a solid win. No matter what, it could have been 11-10. It doesn't matter.
A win is a win. And then
a win is a win right now. And this is a young quarterback figuring it out. And they'll be able to draft some guys this year for sure. There's going to be
I hope a lot.
Joe Burrow, there's good ones.
The most sacked quarterback in the NFL right now. So
he's still balling.
And you know what? He could be balling out of this world and being MVP.
No, I agree.
Contention if they would have went offensive line. And instead of Jamir Chase putting up those numbers, we'd be talking about T. Higgins and or Tyler Boyd because they're
there
really
were other,
good players.
Yeah, there's other guys later on, too, that they could have snagged up.
I think when you had the chance Is it Jameer? I thought it was Jamar.
Jamar. His last name is Chase, and they can't catch him.
Exactly. but no, I think that when you have a connection like that from college, it's just it was a good pick.
You know,
you listen to your franchise quarterback.
This could be the second coming of Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson.
Hey,
a lot of stats, a lot of production.
I'd take it.
Not really amounting to a lot of wins and a lot of success.
See, they have a better defense. Success. They have a better defense, and they got Joe Mixon. That's the difference. They got a balance on offense.
All right, we'll see. I mean, we'll see over the next.
And we got to give a shout out to Tyler Boyd in this game. He's a freaking stud. 5 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. But at the end of the game, he injured his leg. And he stood up so that. They could spike the ball. That was some real football player stuff. Yeah, he was down on the ground hurting, and he realized they had to get up and spike the ball and didn't have a timeout to burn. So he got up and limped up.
That's no Chase Claypool right there. That's some great situational awareness, even in the moment. Like, your body is hurting, and you're like, man, I'm doing this. I'm doing this because I want to win. That's huge, man. This is a guy that's been there. He's been through some of the worst stuff that they've, you know, been in as a franchise as of recent anyway. Yeah, that's awesome. Re-sign that dude.
Hell yeah, for sure.
All right. Denver, Teddy Bridgewater looks like he's done. Drew Lock will be starting the rest of the season. They want to see what they got before they toss him on the heap, I imagine.
Yeah, you know. I don't know. I'm a Teddy B fan, right? Like, I like the guy. But
Drew Lock at least takes shots down the field. With these wide receivers, that's what you got to do.
Well, you know, Teddy B had been taking his fair amount of shots down the field this year. I just don't think I don't know, man. Teddy B just isn't the guy. These idiots. I shouldn't call them idiots because we're talking about John Elway, right? One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But
John Elway is an idiot when it comes to front office.
He should have went quarterback, man.
Yeah, could have had Justin Fields on this team, running around with Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, and Tim Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Vic Fangio probably.
Even Mac Jones on this team.
Like, Vic is definitely on the high. This is probably his last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Carolina Panthers, Buffalo Bills. Bills did a nice little rebound here. They got the run game going. Devin Singletary, 22 carries, 86 yards. Gabriel Davis.
Another
got a couple touchdowns in the last three games. He got a few touchdowns now because he had two this week.
Josh Allen is tied for second with the most interceptions since week 6 of this NFL season.
He's 10. Back to being that the old Josh Allen.
Kind of, yeah.
He's still,
on occasion.
He's still a top 5 quarterback. This is the old Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be perfect and great every freaking year, obviously. Yeah, but
right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But you want to talk about a slump? And look, I wouldn't say Josh Allen is necessarily in a funk, but this Buffalo offense has been. And I mean, they played well against Carolina, so that's good there. But they're going to be tested again this week.
You know what I always
he's getting sacked too. I mean, I think it was what 4 sacks he took 4 sacks in this game. So he's not only he was only 19 of 34, 210 yards. Again, he's not blowing up the world.
You know what I always forget. With the whenever he leaves and comes back with Cam Newton, that I'll never ever be into. I rushed for a 4-yard touchdown and I'm down 15 points still. But let's celebrate, dance party.
I'm having fun. Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of that either.
Hey, look, man, his days though are numbered.
He's getting those last dances right. In, man. Yeah,
may as well.
This is literally the last dance.
He gets fined every time he gives a football to somebody in the sands. So,
wait, does he? I mean,
you get a fine every time you do that, and it's expensive. I think it's like thousands of dollars just for doing that. And he does it every. Score it, whoever scores generally, he'll take the ball and he does it all the time.
Well, I hope he footing the bill when he takes my kids down and takes
I think he score. Does. He does. He gives it to kids usually that are like up front or wherever, whatever. But
Arizona, that's awesome. Arizona Cardinals 12, Detroit Lions 30. Craig Reynolds. taking the NFL by storm. This guy was watching Netflix on the couch 3 weeks ago. Now he's just out here running for 100 yards. Some of the best teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is. I saw his name in
finally,
the box score.
Finally, the Cardinals run defense gets exposed. Been waiting.
But Craig Reynolds has done it back-to-back weeks now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's weird. It's the NFL season is always up and down. You think when a team shows you something, you're like, you know what? These guys might be the favorite. And as soon as we started giving Arizona a little benefit of the doubt, they've lost two straight. D-Hop is down. Kyler Murray looks human. Yeah, man. I mean, just a month ago, we were talking about how galvanized this team seemed, looked, and how complimentary they were, you know, winning games without Kyler Murray and D-Hop out there. And now look at them. Arizona's in trouble. Arizona's in big trouble.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. Time to give him a little bit of flowers. I think he's going to be a good starter in this league.
Yeah,
he sure is. Now you just got to get him another receiver and
Jameson Williams in there. What? Jameson Williams,
somebody
what?
In that area.
Jameson Williams,
maybe.
Go check out our Jameson Williams draft breakdown tape at Football Scout 365 on YouTube. Me and Brandon do a full film breakdown. Well, Brandon does the film breakdown. I'm just in awe of Brandon Scout.
Look, don't go get Jameson Williams though.
Why?
Don't like him.
No, I think he's great. I think he's going to be a stud, right?
Oh, I think they should keep building from the inside out. You exactly. Early well, on, if
that's
if
what
you're
they're
up there,
do.
Get Thibodeau or get Hutchinson, wherever you're at.
Remember, they got that second first rounder from the Rams.
Just don't make that same mistake that you did back in the early 2000s, drafting receiver, receiver, receiver. You hit on one in Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I mean, I wouldn't be so quick to draft another one, right? Make sure Jared Goff is comfortable back there, because that's who's going to be throwing the ball for the next couple of years. And you got to tighten that defense up. But
well, they're going to grab I'm imagining Aiden Hutchinson up top if they get the first round pick, because Thibodeau just seems like a Jags pick. Just seems like.
I think Hutchinson made it known that he wanted to be in Houston, and because he said that, Detroit. Yeah, Detroit said that they'd probably be more apt to taking Thibodeau in that spot.
Oh,
and then
all right.
Obviously they won, and now they're not in that spot. It's the Jags. So the Jags could be taking Hutchinson or Thibodeau in that spot as well if they wanted to, or offensive line.
Jameson Williams may be a good spot for the Jags too, because they got nothing.
Yeah. Hey, check this. So back to Amon-Ra St. Brown. Last three games, he has garnered at least 11 targets. So Jared Goff is really loving the kid. Mm-hmm. He's caught at least 8 balls in the last three games, and he has 2 touchdowns in the last three games. He's averaging about 85 yards per game in the last three. So strong, coming on strong. And this is what you want to see from rookies. Not every rookie is going to come out of the gate strong, but if you see vast improvement over the course of the year, that's great.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, he's one of those guys that.
What, he's stuck?
No, I was waiting for Brandon to finish. He just said that he's one of those guys that.
No,
one of those
I just
guys, period.
I was waiting. Yeah. I thought were about to talk, Woody.
No. Go ahead.
I'm done.
That's all right, moving on.
I don't have anything else to add,
bro. Like you just passed the ball, fast break on the corner.
That was a straight Russell Westbrook.
No, you passed the Shaq in the corner.
Shoot it.
Jets and Dolphins. This one was more entertaining than it should have been. Tua Tagovailoa. Here's something we can talk about with the Dolphins. I don't even really care much about this game, honestly. We can go and do what you want. Welcome back, David Johnson. 22 carries, 107 yards.
Let's not go
two TDs. But Tua Tagovailoa. He's been having a good second half. He's actually showing something. I think that Tua in a first-round pick brings Deshaun Watson after what we've seen from this year from Tua.
You know, it's about wins. He didn't play great versus the Jets
this
past Sunday.
Yes, I would do it.
But But before the Jets, his last four or five games, he had, you know, thrown quite a few touchdowns. He hadn't been turning the ball over, throwing the ball. So, I mean, look, it's NFL. It's about winning games, right? So we're going to say Tua's playing well when Miami, when they're winning. They started 1-7. Now they're 7-7. I think this is more about Brian Flores than anything else. I think he's done a masterful job getting these guys to keep playing and not give up. Because, look, when you look up and your record's 1-7, a lot of players throw in the towel. It's about next year and about self-preservation at this point. But these guys are in the thick of the AFC playoff picture.
Yeah, Flores has definitely saved his job. If the Dolphins make the playoffs, then he's obviously 110% secure. I would say, but I'm also convinced that if he is secure, he likes Tua. Like, I think he's content with having Tua and not bringing in the distraction of Deshaun Watson. Maybe I'm wrong, but I do know that ownership and front office people in Miami, you can read about it, they prefer to probably go maybe in a different direction. There's been conversations about them wanting to go the Deshaun Watson route. So,
I mean, he's a different class quarterback.
Well, we know that, but he's not playing right now. And if he were even allowed to play, would the NFL let him play?
What do you think?
That's really been
the
conversation. I have no idea. Probably pissed off at life, man. I wouldn't be happy about my situation. I mean,
all the more reason for a massage, right?
I mean, it's not going to do him any good sitting out. Like,
I don't know. Legs can be fresh things with quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, Lev Bell.
Yeah, that's different. That's a power running back. We're talking about a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, take time off, sure. I mean, your processing speed on the field will probably be off when you first get. He's not going to come in and just be crisp.
Arm fatigue. Sure. Look, Dak Prescott missed, you know, not even a whole year. Come back to training camp. Next thing you know, you blow his shoulder out.
Everyone's my shoulder, man.
So, I mean, hey, you know, taking that time off could be a blessing or a curse.
Titans Steelers. Titans. They are 13. Steelers 19. Sorry, COVID brain hit me for a second. Steelers just won't die.
I feel like the Titans are unmotivated.
I think they're like, oh, we got Derrick Henry coming back. All right.
And the division is kind of, you know, it's for them to lose, to be honest with you, at this point. This was a game they definitely should have won.
They own the tiebreaker with the Colts.
Tennessee's not, they're super scary with Derrick Henry. Without Derrick Henry, they are an above average team, maybe.
Ryan Tannehill, well, we convinced ourselves. Exactly. We convinced ourselves that he was something that he wasn't. He came over. He's good at play action. That he's good at play action. That is what Ryan Tannehill is good at. But without A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, and Julio Jones is just running sprints on the sidelines. He's Ryan Tannehill.
Man, four turnovers, though.
Yeah. And he's thrown for 14 interceptions thus far.
The Titans turned over the ball four times, and yet the Steelers only had 168 yards of offense and still won this game.
Joe Hayden had one of the most studly plays at the end of this game that I've seen all year long. The Titans were driving. They were on their way. They were in the red zone to come back and score and win this game. Joe, fourth down and like nine, wide receiver catches the ball 8 yards up. Joe Hayden just sticks him flat line. You are not crossing that line. He didn't even let him lean forward. He just just straight to the ground.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Sealed the game a tackle. It was a great, solid play. Love that. That's what Joe Hayden's been a blue chip starter for 10 years.
He has been. It's actually quite impressive, right? Because corners can kind of come and go kind of fast.
Yeah. And he faded for a little bit, but then he came back.
Yeah. Still a solid corner in this league.
He is. Houston Texans, Jacksonville Jaguars. Texans showed up to play, baby. Captain Mills, where you at? Davis Mills.
Are we done?
Yeah, enough of this game.
Yeah, right.
Unless we're going to talk about Urban or something, about the good old boys up in Houston, Texas. It's not much to touch on.
Does Houston get some crackpot cockamamie idea in their head that Davis Mills might be the future?
Who was Houston and who was Davis Mills?
I mean, he could be a backup if you had Deshaun Watson, but he's your quarterback right now. So
I feel like Davis Mills is who they thought Mike Glennon was going to be.
Why does Aiden Hutchinson want to go to Houston? Is he from Texas?
He wants to be J.J. Watt.
I don't know. He's just out there doing the media rounds, and he was talking to somebody ironically from Houston on the radio, and that's where it happened. So it's him probably playing the crowd. He'll go wherever the money is. He's from Detroit. So, I mean, his family lives down the road in a suburb.
Detroit makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Played at Michigan, state.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence looked terrible in this game again. Are we worried?
Yeah. Well, the receivers are terrible, too.
Are we worried? Is the bus tag coming?
Well, Marvin Jones on Instagram.
He's the least of the worries of any of the
That's really optimistic, Brandon.
I'm being real. He's the least of the worries of any of the quarterbacks. I would say that he is the least. He is not the kind of guy that should bust, right? He came into the league, surefire. The coaching staff is awful. Urban Meyer situation is awful. Ownership is obviously awful because they can never get anything right. The only thing that's going to force him into looking bad is literally he'll have to play out his rookie deal and somehow get out of Jacksonville and go somewhere different. Like that's the only way that you could call him a bust after 2 or 3 years of him looking bad or not, you know, showing the proper progress. But this isn't, he's not, dude, he still shows the qualities that you want to see. You just need a coach in there that can do it. And I'm thinking there's a lot of guys out there you could go and get. You know, honestly, Byron Leftwich has come up numerous times as somebody. I kind of like that idea. I really like the coordinator, Brian Daboll, you know, from Buffalo to come down. That's a guy. Bieniemy, you know, I feel like he's just kind of hanging out in Kansas City anyway for his turn to probably potentially take over. We'll see how that transpires. But again, like anybody is going to be better than what he's dealing with right now. It's not all on him. And the receivers, man, my God. Marvin Jones is quite literally the best receiver on the team.
Yeah. Look, the whole organization.
Not LaVisca Chenault all season. People shoveling LaVisca Chenault down our throats. Hey, LaVisca Chenault is going to be
LaVisca Chenault. He's a good player, too. I mean, they don't use him. They don't use him in ways that he should be used. I mean, this guy could be used out of the backfield if you wanted to.
Debo Samuel is his player comp. That's you talking about a man that can run after the catch, that can break a lot of tackles, that runs like a running back after they catch the ball. That's LaVisca for you. But back to Trevor Lawrence, the organization has absolutely failed him from the top down, just as Brandon said. I don't agree with him being the least of your worries. Because the top down has failed him thus far, you can ruin a young quarterback. And so that's why I'm worried about Trevor Lawrence. Look, before the season started, we all questioned, okay, does he really love it? Like, he wants your quarterback to love the game, you know, because he made some comments about it's not all about football. And I don't disagree with him. You know, it sounds like a kid that has his head on his shoulders that understands football isn't everything. But that's not what the owners want. That's not what the players want. You know, they want you to go out there and die for him. And
I really think that's a front. Like, he was open. If it didn't matter, then why be open about Urban Meyer and the situation that just happened, you know, with James Robinson and that situation? I mean, he obviously does.
That's real.
He shows that. And I mean, he's a winner. Like, the dude never lost, you know, like he lost like what, 2 games before he ever, like, I think his entire freaking career through high school and college and. Not right now. He attached himself to a losing Urban's situation.
It seems like Kyle Shanahan has it cemented in his mind that he wants Debo Samuel to lead the San Francisco in touchdown catches and touchdown runs.
Yeah, why not? If he,
it's pretty. It's just special. We've never seen anything like this.
Well, we had seen something like it a few times. We've seen Shanahan dial it up with him, and there's some plays that he had ran in the past that I was just like, "Wow, that's just beautiful. Do more of that. Do more of that with
Debo." And he is.
And now they're literally lining him up in the backfield like a running back, and defenses. I don't get it. He just gets the edge freely almost every time. Yep. And if he has any space, any at all, he gets there and he just home run like almost every time in the red zone.
I'm like, never makes the tackle.
Like, oh, yeah. Good luck anyway when you do get that.
Look, one of his the scouting report when he got drafted was, hey, this guy's built like a running back.
Yeah. Get him the ball in space, or, you know, even if he's in traffic, he can make.
Yeah.
Dude.
Atlanta Falcons Cordero Patterson, after just being amazing all season, first fantasy playoff weekend, just absolutely destroyed his team.
Glad you brought this up.
Just absolutely destroyed his teams. That he probably was the reason they slipped into the playoffs, because someone picked him up off waiver wires. 11 carries, 18 yards, 2 catches, 5 yards. Horrible, horrible fantasy playoff.
You know the biggest loser here, though?
Bad matchup.
It's Arthur Smith, because I saw a clip back here in like week 5 where Cordero Patterson had just scored a touchdown when he was on his little touchdown streak, and Arthur Smith was mic'd up and he said, "I have you on my fantasy team," and he gave him a high five.
Oh, so Arthur Smith.
But he's obviously trying to get him the ball. Ain't shit else to play for.
This man, that's hilarious. This man, he's like, he must have had a first round bye, so he took the week.
That's
off.
Real, probably. I'm gonna give you some. Yeah, you're gonna be fresh next week, okay?
All right. Are we worried about Kyle Pitts?
No.
Nah.
You sure?
Yeah, nope. Had a couple down weeks, right? I mean,
I've watched more Falcons football this year than I'd care for. But from what I've seen, he's gotten bodied a lot. He's not as physical as we think.
Give him a year or two in the NFL, and he'll be
exactly
dominant.
That's where tight ends. Time. Yep, that's that room to grow. You know, once tight ends get into the league, look, you still catch the ball just like you did in college. A lot of the other stuff, you still run routes like you did in college. But guess what? The players are bigger, stronger, faster, which means you have to, you know,
get bigger, stronger, faster. Exactly. And he has room. He has room to do that.
You got
to
come with that same, you know, that physicality. That's something he's going to grow into. But I also want to ask you this, Woody. Give me some weapons that they have around them. They don't. Yeah. There are none. So Russell teams Cage, can focus on Kyle Pitts.
He is the weapon.
Stop. Why we keep talking? You know what? On the internet this past week, I saw a clip. It was a meme of Cordell Patterson and Debo doing a jersey swap. And it was like, man, two really versatile players. But it was just blowing them off, right? Just like real hard. I'm like, I mean, it's fact.
Do that again.
It's true. But
okay,
it's zero Pro Bowls between the two of them. You know what I'm saying? Like,
cut that out.
Debo will be in a Pro Bowl this year.
He will, but let's stop talking about Cordell Patterson like he's some football god. There's 7 years of data. I keep saying this, that proves that it's otherwise. You know, this year's an outlier.
It is interesting to see him do what he's done this year, though.
And but we all know why, though. Arthur Smith has him on his fantasy team. And obviously, Arthur Smith's fantasy team is really, really bad, just like his real team.
But Green Bay Packers.
It might be a good testament to Arthur Smith, though, you know, that a guy like that, he's able to get the most out of him. So maybe giving him a little more time as a head coach in Atlanta will help him kind of figure
out. I got an idea. Maybe Arthur Smith next year, maybe he can draft all Atlanta Falcons on his fantasy team. And maybe they'll all do a lot better.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see if Calvin Ridley comes back next year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Green Bay Packers.
Man, I'm sorry, right? Woody.
Oh, yeah. Don't even get me started.
You were optimistic. You was really optimistic this year, especially about him coming back.
I was. I should have just stuck to my Prophet of Doom. Trying to change my life. And
I can't be mad at you.
Green Bay Packers, Baltimore Ravens. This game was way closer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Packers pulled it out, though, and that's what great teams do.
Yep, and the Packers were a touchdown favorites here.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think you guys on the
I picked the Packers, yeah.
Yeah, so did Brandon. Somebody here, though, did pick the Ravens just because I'm like, you know what? They always keep it close. And that's a testament to Harbaugh.
Tyrone Huntley.
Tyler.
Look, no, we ain't letting you get out of this one, buddy. We ain't letting you get out of this one. We ain't letting you get out of this
one. He was here to fuck my wife.
What happened?
I don't know.
It's an internet meme. My name's Tyrone, and I'm here to fuck your wife.
Oh, gotcha. But, all right. Damn.
Why do you think his name was, like, why'd you substitute Tyler for Tyrone?
Oh, yeah.
Was it the Russian stats?
It was our friend Tyrone, who's a Ravens fan.
Oh, sure it was. That's a good, save.
All right.
We do have a friend named Tyrone who's a Ravens fan. Shout out to Tyrone.
Exactly. Good, great guy. One of my favorite guys. That's why I was thinking
about
him.
Great recovery by Woody.
It is. That's a good one.
Improv, the baby.
That is good. I need to take those classes. Do they do that online?
Yeah, they do, actually. I can send you a link and get you 20% off.
Yeah.
Probably get you a free session. I ain't doing that.
No, it's like a eight-week course. Aaron Rodgers.
I'll do one
played
session.
Played great in this one. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon might be the best running back duo in the league.
Man.
I knew you'd be upset by that. They might, though. There's, I don't know. I
just... No, it probably – they make an argument for sure.
They do. But Tony Pollard's speed, it's just – whew, it's crazy. But Tyler Huntley, let's talk about him. He's a good football player, right?
Yeah,
like,
he
as
is.
A backup, I don't know if he's a starter.
Yeah, I brought it up over the summer.
He's their perfect backup for
sure.
You're
the man, Brandon.
I know I'm the man. In the preseason, where we don't really believe anything matters, but he showed out in the preseason. And he, you know, I said it last week, the offense doesn't really change much with him in the game, and that's why they brought him in the first place. And I heard some people talking the other day about him being undervalued in the draft a few years ago when he was coming in. And, I mean, he wasn't valued as a great passer, and I would argue that he's not a fantastic thrower, but he is adequate, but he's also a very good athlete. So he is the ultimate compliment to Lamar Jackson, I think, right now. I wasn't feeling it, though, before this week, though.
No, I feel that.
I wasn't
feeling
it.
You know what he does? You know, you talk about him as a passer. I'll say this about him as a passer, and comparing him to Lamar, he is a more rhythm-based passer, right? Like, he does a good job at reading the plays, you know, reading what the defense gives him and just making a decision, right? Sometimes with Lamar, there's some indecisiveness there, which is why you see the interceptions, the bad interceptions, the bad incompletions. But, you know, Huntley, he played well. You know, they were conservative with him throwing the ball. You know, Hollywood caught 10 balls for, you know, 40-something
Mark
yards.
Mark Andrews.
But he was able to get Mark Andrews the ball. So
dialed in
huge.
On him. Yeah. I mean, dialed in on him. 10 receptions on 13 targets, 136 yards, 2 touchdowns, just dialed in. His intermediate throwing is good. Nice, catchable football. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trade bait.
And one thing that he does, he gets the ball to his best player.
Yeah.
Mark Andrews. Eaton since Tyler Huntley came in. Yeah. Best wide receiver on that team. Lamar doesn't do that very well on a week-to-week basis.
He's inconsistent as a passer sometimes.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling keeps showing why he's on NFL rosters twice a year. Nothing to see here. Just twice a year. Shows up. Run straight down the field.
Hey, look, we need to focus on Green Bay here because I think they're the NFC favorites, right? Wouldn't y'all agree?
It's true.
Yeah, now Aaron Rodgers might be the MVP.
Oh,
I was
what?
For you,
oh, wait,
I
what?
Like Deion on that one, too. Yeah.
Hey, man, like I always say, it's week to week, man. This stuff changes.
Listen, don't trust COVID Jesus as far as he can throw it. You know what I mean?
Hey, I Jonathan Taylor, there's a good argument for him, too. I mean, we're getting there.
I got
we're
another one
there.
We can throw in there, too.
Who's that?
Micah Parsons.
My little Cooper Kupp.
Oh, is someone showing up to for penance?
Look, it has nothing. Look, again, I don't want him to break the record because when I think of great receivers, I think of Jerry Rice, Calvin Johnson.
I think of
the Terrell Owens of the world. But look, you got to give him his flowers. I mean, he's balling out this year. Now, a lot of it is schematics. You know, he's not the best receiver in the league at all.
Our buddy Sorry, who's played college football, knows a lot about the breakdown of the game. He was saying in one of our fantasy football chats that if you watch the game, like, they're force feeding the ball.
Yeah.
Cooper. Like, there's been a lot of open receivers that they've seen, but Cooper's just, but also Cooper's having one of the most historically great seasons. So, like, he deserves the force feed.
Well, guess what? He's still not in the realm with, like, the Davante Adams of the world. Davante Adams get doubled damn near every play. Teams don't really
double.
Yeah,
he runs
Cooper
out of the
Kupp.
Slot more. This puts him as, like, maybe the best slot season of all time. Like, when we think of those Wes Welker years, this is, like, next level of that.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have to fight at the line of scrimmage. So that yeah, does set
we kind of went
down.
Left, and that was my fault because I threw Cooper Kupp in the MVP.
MVP.
Race. But look, the Packers, this is my worry for the Packers. Their offensive line is patched together, right? And in order to beat Aaron Rodgers, you got to be able to apply pressure. You remember back in, week 7-8 of last year, Tampa Bay? You remember what that defense did to Aaron Rodgers? Made him look really, really bad. Week 1 of this year versus New Orleans Saints made him look really, really bad. So teams who can apply pressure with 4 or 5 guys and get in Aaron Rodgers' face, it's going to be a problem for them come the postseason. So they're still my favorites, but they're not a heavy favorite.
On the back end, you better have the talent.
Yep, for sure.
You got to dial it up, and you got to get it right. Mm-hmm. And you got to get home, and you got to cut off his ability to escape, because when he escapes and he's moving around,
and
Rodgers
doesn't
not
miss throws. He doesn't miss throws, right? So that's
I've
that's
never
why
seen
you gotta
him
hit
this
him.
Dialed in the last few years. This is the best he's thrown the ball in the last few years.
Yeah.
So far.
He
and
is.
Then look, players around Davante Adams are stepping up, right? So
yep.
That's big too.
We've gotten big games at Alan Lazard, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. When the team is doing the next man up thing, it's mm-hmm. really hard to stop that team.
Mercedes Lewis.
And they're relatively healthy. They're relatively healthy, too.
Outside of the offensive line, yeah.
Yeah, they're not dying on offense or defense at the skill positions like other teams are.
Right.
All right, the most boring game of Sunday, New Orleans Saints. I enjoyed it. It was a knockdown, dragout game. But New Orleans Saints 9, Buccaneers 0. This one. The Bucs, this was the Red Wedding for Game of Thrones for the Bucs. Because all your favorite characters died.
Your home team, too. I mean,
yeah. Leonard Fournette, dead. Done for the year. Chris Godwin, dead. Done for the year. Mike Evans, going to miss a couple games. Probably.
Is Fournette's only out until the playoffs then, right?
Yeah, he's on IR.
Yeah, I mean.
Kiss goodbye to your miracle fantasy season because you drafted Leonard Fournette in the 8th round, and he's the 4th best running back in the league.
Right before the during
the playoffs. You got your 10 points in the fantasy playoffs and he's out.
What is the fantasy postseason?
Weeks 15 through.
No, I mean, what is it? When do you participate in that?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Brandon. I'm number 1 overall seed in 2 leagues, so I don't know.
Oh,
how you
wow.
feel.
In the junior leagues. Not
white privilege.
That's cool. Leagues. Yeah, our team, too, that I set on lineup and got us the playoffs. We scored the most points in the playoffs last week.
I told you if we win the championship, we can negotiate your portion.
I'll fly to Virginia. I'll burn down your house. Tell the police what I did.
Hey, look. On Tampa Bay, I talked about it. We talked about it earlier in the show. I will say Tampa Bay from like top to bottom, from WR1 to like WR7, they probably have the deepest receiving core in the league. I do like Scotty Miller, who got a lot more time last year. And the secret.
He also had the game losing fumble.
There you go. He hasn't played a lot this season, but I'm just saying it's hopeful for Tampa Bay. I'm kind of bringing it back a little bit. But Tyler Johnson, right? Tyler Johnson made some big catches last year. Tom Brady seems to like him. So maybe Tyler Johnson can fill in one of those roles where Chris Godwin and or Mike Evans.
Antonio Brown's going to have 25 catches next week.
You can't. You won't be able to force feed it to him.
Yes, he will.
I don't think
so. Oh, man. Brady will. He'll find a way.
All right.
I'm telling
but
you.
But it ain't nothing but some double coverage, somebody underneath, somebody over the top.
You still it's got hard, the footwork,
it's
baby.
Hard, though, man. It's hard with him because he gets a free – you get him somewhere where he gets a free release anyway. He's getting a free release no matter what because you're not really going to get hands on the dude. He's going to get off the line. He's hard to cover, period.
He's a top receiver, but I don't think he's Antonio Brown from 3, 4, 5 years ago. I don't think.
But if you take him away, you're giving something. You're giving something up. You gotta. Sure. You can only double so many guys before somebody else is wide open.
Yeah, we might see a lot more two tight end from Tampa Bay.
Why doesn't New Orleans throw to Marquez Callaway more? He's a good wide receiver. We see he's always impressive. And then he just like they don't throw to him a couple weeks and they're like, oh yeah, he's a good wide receiver again.
He makes all the contested catches. Like you talking about somebody can go up and get it. Yeah.
He does. It's the ball tracking. When the ball's in the air, him just kind of figuring it out, manipulating the DB and
getting around.
Like he had that one catch that was down the middle. I can't remember if it was it was a deep ball. And he just kind of tracked it, came back to it.
Yeah, it was a bit of a duck, to be honest. And I can't remember who was calling the game, but it may have been Aikman. No, it wasn't Aikman. No, it's Collinsworth. But Collinsworth was like, yeah, I think Taysom Hill kind of threw it back shoulder on a post to give Callaway a chance to go up and get it. I'm like, okay. If this was Aaron Rodgers throwing it, I'd probably agree with you, Tom Brady, any of those guys. But
he just threw
Hill just launched that tank up and let Callaway.
All right, let's dial it up.
And Sean Payton for this game, at home on the couch.
Yep.
Same as Urban Meyer.
So
this is a testament to the coaching staff. This is a testament to the coaching staff for New Orleans. And what Sean Payton has done in that regard. And then when you look at how Urban Meyer hired a coaching staff and you can see the huge difference and how that works out. Right. So, I mean, hats off to, you know, their defensive coordinator, I believe was, you know, the head coach for this game and look at how this game ended as defensive as it gets, which
hell
is insane to me. Somebody
might get a head coaching gig. Yeah. Off this game in this coming off season.
Las Vegas Raiders 16, Cleveland Browns 14.
Who?
Exactly. This is the.
I tried to watch this game. I couldn't.
This is two teams that are just going nowhere fast.
Yeah. Nick Mullins, baby.
Take me out to dinner.
Yeah. This, man. Baker talked all that junk about the NFL, and he still wasn't cleared to play. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. You know, what are you going to do when you're a sickly little man? You're a sickly little man.
I'm disgusted with us this year.
He's a little chunky.
I'm mad we gave Cleveland all this talk time on the podcast in the offseason this year.
I did. Especially. And I loved them.
What did you say last year?
I think I said they were Super Bowl contenders.
The Browns is the Browns, man.
Yep. The Browns is the Browns. Baker Mayfield. They should not re-sign him.
Who?
Baker Mayfield. Mike Jones.
Who are you going to get?
Somebody. Case Keenum.
Okay. Tyler Huntley.
The discount you get.
The offense isn't built for Tyler Huntley.
The discount you get just literally paying Case Keenum, paying him $5 million a year instead of paying Baker Mayfield like $25 million a year.
You're
winning the same amount of games.
Well, then keep Baker then. I mean, just keep him. Don't pay him as much as what he thinks he believes he deserves and be like, hey, be happy with this. We're not going to pay you as much. We want you to stay here. We want you to be a Brown. You've done a decent job. Will you get better? We don't think you will. But you're the best we got.
We gave you a bunch of incentives.
You talking about Baker here? He going to say, he going to rip it up. He going to say, screw you. Toss it in your face. And
you know what's crazy is he does have that kind of leverage because there's teams out there that need quarterbacks and someone's going to take
State
this
Farm.
Man. Like
and State Farm thinks he's really good.
Seattle. And look, there's
Baker the worst commercial athlete we've ever had? Like, he's on every commercial.
I don't hate Baker that much. I actually think his commercials aren't bad.
No. I'm not talking about, like, his acting. I'm talking about, like, worst production. Like, these – why isn't someone good getting these commercials?
With the progressive – I mean, look.
Yeah, people like him for whatever reason in that regard.
He's marketable, I guess. So you see Baker Mayfield in these commercials, but you don't see your Lamar Jacksons, your Dak Prescotts. You know, those guys in these commercials.
I mean, I'd love to see Lamar with his accent pitch and
you know what's funny? Does Lamar even want that? It's always a case, too.
Y'all should get insurance.
Which would be, I think, would be great. And I also think that Lamar probably doesn't care about that kind of thing. Like, some of these players just don't want to do that.
And Lamar doesn't strike me as a progressive insurance guy anyway. I feel like he has, like, the general.
Call 1-800.
Hey y'all, I got IBS.
Yo, he could do the IBS like medication.
He could be the IBS spokesperson.
Right.
Like, he'd make a bundle from a pharmaceutical company.
Pepto Bismol ad, you know what I'm saying? Hey.
not even a pharmaceutical company like in that regard. But like Pepto.
Hey y'all, before I run, I gots to cleanse the buns. Take Pepto Bismol. Minnesota Vikings 17, Chicago Bears 9. Kirk Cousins dialed it up to Justin Jefferson early here, and then it just kind of was like it was 17-0 in first half or six, and then 17-9, just another terrible game on Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, this is it for Nagy. This will probably be it.
Yep.
We've been saying that for a while. This man's been fighting.
No. What I'm saying is they're out of the playoff hunt completely. They were eliminated from any possibility. He could be let go in any moment. I believe I read something the other day that they're already in the hunt for where they're going to go.
Well, guys, Seattle Seahawks, 20. Excuse me, Los Angeles Rams, 20. Seattle Seahawks, 10. Little Birdie on this show last week said, this is going to be more of a game situation split in the Rams backfield, and it's looking like it. Yep. When they need to hold a lead, they're going to run the power ball with Sony Michel and Daryl Henderson. You'll see more out of the backfield and right when the fantasy playoffs hit, which Daryl Henderson, where he was drafted, he got a lot of teams, the fantasy playoffs. This is a bad switch up for a lot of teams real quick at the end of the year. But I think this makes the Rams a much tougher team. He was running, punishing the Seahawks.
You know, this sounds crazy. The Rams were a better team last year than they are this year.
Yeah, their defense was better.
So, I mean, this team has more individual talent, but last year's team was just a better team, right? They're missing
Johnson a lot on the back end.
It's just something about the Rams that doesn't. Like, and I can't stick a fork in them because all that talent, right? Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp and OBJ and Von Miller and Aaron Donald.
They're getting right at the right time. They're getting right at the right time.
All right, we'll see.
Cooper Kupp had a huge night. 9 receptions, 136 yards, 2 TDs.
MVP candidate.
Yeah. You honestly have to say that right now. Odell.
I mean, how do you not?
Odell, 1 catch, 7 yards, but he's been doing some stuff for him.
Yeah, the week last week.
Yeah. Sony Michel, I think it really changes his team, man. The power run game. You know, I'm a sucker for some power run game.
Yeah, especially if. Never mind.
Just say it. It's bad radio.
No, I'm not, you know.
No, say it. It's fine.
I'm sure if it was like Mike Allslaught or Peyton Hillis or something back there, you'd love it even more. John Riggins, you know.
Listen, I'm not Christian the one McCaffrey. Hating Cooper Kupp because he's white.
I just said Cooper Kupp is an MVP candidate. I don't know.
To make up for last week.
To make up for last week. I didn't say anything bad about him last week.
Yes, you did.
A 4-6 guy from Eastern Washington is you know, about to break the record for.
Are you negging your MVP candidate now?
Look, he deserves to be there. I'm just saying he doesn't deserve to be highly regarded in the name of Jerry Rice.
He deserves to be
Calvin
there.
Calvin Johnson, Terrell Owens, Randy Moss. He does not deserve that. That's it.
He's had better seasons than all those dudes.
I mean, he hasn't had better careers than him yet. So
this is true.
We'll see.
Washington football team, Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles 27, football team 17. Jalen Hurts scored 2 touchdowns running the ball here. Threw for 1. This, would you've hit the under here? You see, CJ had a nice ticket on this one.
Man, I was feeling lucky too, but yeah, it's look, the Philly isn't a good team, but they're in the thick of the, you know, postseason right now. They can make some noise. Jalen Hurts has played well. I still don't feel like the question is answered whether Hurts is the quarterback of the future or not. He reminds me so much of Dak Prescott from the Intangibles, right? He's a great leader. He's quiet. You know, his confidence is never shaken. But it's just about him as a passer. And even in his good games, you see the deficiencies that he has as a passer, especially with the deep ball. So, I don't know.
You just compare Jalen Hurts
to Dak, to a young Dak. Yes, Dak was good. With the short, the intermediate stuff early in his career, I questioned his arm, never his character or his leadership or his ability to lead a team. But early in his career, I did question Dak's arm, and it has gotten better.
Well, I mean, there's a no. I see what you're saying in that regard. I would say Dak is a far better anticipatory style thrower than Hurts. Hurts is throwing to a spot, you know, where a guy is stationary more often than not, holding still in an area versus Dak, who is better in that regard, like throwing when someone's on the move, throw them open, get it to the open area where the receiver hasn't even made a break yet. He can do more of that. But yeah, never mind.
They're both kind of classified as dual threat quarterbacks, right? But it's levels to it, right? Like Jalen Hurts is more far right, you know, on the dual threat side, and Dak Prescott is more far left because he's actually probably more of a passer who can run, whereas Jalen Hurts is, he's a runner who, you know,
uses it to set up the throw. Yeah. And they don't, when they don't do that as much,
it's an option-based offense, essentially.
Let's see some more of the wishbone.
Well, I mean, the Ravens are basically their entire offense, I've said this before, is like Army or Navy, but in the shotgun, in the pistol. It's the exact same thing, just
I love it.
Situationally, formationally, it's different.
Why has Jordan Howard been cut by like every team he's done well for, and then somehow makes his way back and does well for them at some point after leaving the roster?
I don't get it either, man.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Like, just leave the man on the squad. He's good.
Like, I know he doesn't pop, right? Like, he doesn't pop. But I mean, he does what needs to be done.
Yeah. Everyone needs a goal line back. He's a good goal line back. Leave it at that.
He's a back.
You know? He is, yeah. Miles Sanders had a hell of a game, too.
Yeah.
I don't think they re-signed him, though. I think he's going to be a sneaky free agent signing somewhere.
Miles?
Probably.
Yeah. I think the right offensive coordinator could do something with him.
He's a complimentary back, man.
Yeah.
Get him down there in Tennessee or something.
Well, remember,
Derrick Henry.
It's hilarious. They were struggling here with their little trio of backs, and then all of a sudden, we went back to Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders, who had great seasons together. A
couple years ago, right? Hell yeah.
It just makes no sense, man. Eagles, are they going to make the playoffs? They might make the playoffs.
I think so. It's them. You have Minnesota. You got the Niners.
Minnesota. Right there. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right. It's they got the Giants.
New Orleans is 7-7-2 still, limping in there.
Vikings got the Rams, and the Eagles are on the bubble just outside, and the Vikings are sitting ahead of them. So if the Rams take care of business and the Eagles take care of business, they flip more than likely with the Eagles moving into that playoff positioning.
Do they make any noise in the playoffs?
Who?
Eagles?
Oh no.
I don't think so
either. They're a bad team. They're a bad team. And sometimes bad teams make the playoffs. They're not a good team.
Is Nick Sirianni a good coach?
He looks like it.
Yeah.
he does okay sometimes.
He has
I can't
really
remember
bad
this
problem with opening game script. They start.
Yeah, there's some other stuff, I believe. I have to go back and look at it. But there were some other things with his decision making. And, I guess the game script stuff.
You know, what's wild is this Philadelphia team beat New Orleans 41-17 not even a month ago. So I mean, it's when you think about stuff like that, it's like, but I don't think Philly does it again.
That was with Trevor Siemian.
Trevor Siemian wasn't paying. Look, New Orleans, we know New Orleans for that defense. Yeah. Regardless, 100%. Right? Yeah. And to know that that defense gave up 41 points versus Philadelphia, who is a running offense, and that's supposed to be New Orleans' strength. But, you know, every now and then you'll find an outlier or a few outliers through the NFL season. And, you know, I think that was probably one of them.
For sure. All right, guys. Well, this is the one show we're doing this week. It's Christmas, you know. It's COVID Christmas. Take two.
Electric Boogaloo. Bro, you just ruined Christmas.
COVID Christmas 2, Electric Boogaloo. We're just doing one episode this week, y'all. Sorry. Y'all don't pay us enough.
I feel like I gotta go get tested just because we did this show.
Seriously, you might need to. Should have wrapped it up.
Can you catch it when we're recording?
I don't know, but I tell you what, I talked to Woody on the phone the day he found out he caught it, and I felt disgusting after I got off the phone with him.
I mean, I was saying some very nasty things. But yo, check out Football Scout 365.
Oh, man. We made it this far.
You gotta go get tested, man. I felt that come through my mic.
I'm not even adding it. I'm not gonna edit that.
I'm gonna edit that out.
Is he gonna make it? Hey.
This is kind of like when Tyler Boyd got the smelling salt line of scrimmage out. When he had to spike the ball.
Take two.
Come on, man. Get to the line of scrimmage. Come on, hurry. Don't be all Chase right. Claypool.
So check out Football Scout 365. We got some crazy YouTube content coming out. We have done Hutchinson and Thibodeau. We have done...
Don't strain yourself.
Yeah, we've done a lot. We've done the top running back. We've done Kenny Pickett.
Just spiking the ball here.
And now we have Jameson Williams, my favorite wide receiver prospect in this draft. And all, you know, they're starting to get some traction. People are liking the videos. We got 2,300 views. On the Michigan,
3,000,
the Hutchinson
3,000 total now,
3,000 total,
all of them.
We're so putting out this good. Great, this fire draft content, man. Go check it out. It's good.
I should advertise this podcast more on that.
Yeah, let's start doing that. If you want to hear more of us,
yeah,
yeah, we'll add that to the script. It's the learning process. yeah. But yeah, guys, go check out the content. It's good stuff. We're putting out. It usually comes out every Monday, right?
Yes. Not this Monday, though, probably. We talked about doing something, but we're not. But also, look ahead. We're going to be doing mock draft stuff. We'll do that on YouTube. And then what I'll do is I'll download it into podcast format as well. I plan on doing all these videos in podcast format for extra content. So we'll just throw it on there and then advertise YouTube that way. We'll incorporate CJ into the mock draft edition if he wants to. I believe he does. He really does, because he was just talking about last year's mock draft. So he's already warming up and he's ready. I feel good about it. And the content is going to be like next level fire, trying to get in front of everybody else on every single thing and give you as much detail as possible. I mean, we're going to break it down. Like if there's a spot that we think a receiver should be playing, if we think he's a slot, he's a Z or he's an X, we're going to have all that detail for you and ready. I'm working on that stuff on the back end. I mean, everything from tight end, is he a move tight end, inline tight end, you know, we'll be able to decipher that. Like, and there's a database that I've created. You'll be able to go in. You'll be able to say, okay, this tight end is a move tight end more off the ball, or somebody who plays in the slot, or somebody who can flex out wide more often versus a guy who just plays the Y more in line as a blocker. That kind of thought process. So if you're a fantasy football person, you care about scheme as well. I'm listing all of the schemes that these guys play in college, including their offensive coordinator and how they basically set things up for them, and then how that translates to the NFL level as well. So far, got 130 players in the database. I'm entering all this stuff in manually right now. So be on the lookout. It's going to be good stuff.
Love it.
Hopefully.
And that's going to wrap us up here, though, boys. As always, merry holidays, happy Christmas. And
all right, now back to this Tyrone Huntley thing.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cubicle.